Welcome. I am excited for this. I did a presentation a couple nights ago and it was fun and it kind of primed me to be very excited to land here on a Sunday afternoon with a group of mental projectors. So I'm really happy to be here. And my plan for today was to share some things that I've been really looking at and seeing a lot about what it means to be a mental projector, but especially what it means to be a mental projector now in these particular times. So, first of all, I just invite us all to recognize and breathe in what it might feel like, even just on a frequency level and even through the digital space, what it might feel like to be in a group where there is this shared kind of mechanic that we're all working with. And also, where there is the potential to be able to feel a certain amount of spaciousness, which for me, when there isn't definition below the throat, there's a certain kind of lightness that becomes possible and a lightening of the density of frequency that we might feel when we're around most other people. I invite us all to take that in and allow ourselves to be connected to that and just feel the space of that while we're sitting here. And also, potentially, I would imagine if you look around at the faces that are present here, I think there's something kind of unique about the mental projector countenance as well, that there's a lights on going on up here, and maybe even some penetration, but also some vulnerability and some sensitivity that you might be able to feel. So I'm hoping in a group like this, it'll kind of feel like we can let some of our barriers down a little bit, like the body might actually be able to relax a little more than in most groups we might find ourselves in, where there's just a little more space. So welcome to the space. I chose this image and brought it forward because if I were a graphic designer, I would have made a lot of these petals a lot of different colors. I would kind of not have had this be a uniform white flower, but to be a sort of flower with all different kinds of fractals of colors and light. And we have the mandala here in the middle. And when I think about what it's like to have the mechanics of a mental projector, the one thing that we all share is to have this ajna definition. So, to have this particular unique way of seeing, and then to have all of this openness below the throat, and for some of us here, openness in the throat as well. So, I almost imagine in what we might each experience in our own way is that as we're going through our lives, as we're interacting with different people, as we're playing our roles in our domestic life, in our mundane life, in our work life, might almost feel like we go on the ride. We get like pulled on the ride of all of these different themes and all of these different characteristics that we are encountering in other people. And we can sort of get absorbed in that and we find our way to work with it. Some of those experiences might feel really rewarding and fulfilling if there's recognition there. If there's a role for us to play that feels like it's fulfilling, then those engagements and those little trips we go on, I almost feel like each one of these hexagrams of the I Ching is like a little trip. It's like a little ride we can go on. And oftentimes we're going on multiple of them simultaneously while we're doing our thing with whoever we happen to be with. But I think one of the things that's most important, especially now, is that we really make room to come back to ourselves and to let all of those influences, let all of those trips and rides and frequencies and energies and emotions and thoughts and questions and drives and stresses that we've taken in from everything around us to be able to breathe and let it all go and let the flower turn white, like in a way, let it become white again. All of that openness that's in the lower part of the body graph, in its greatest potential, to me, is really about wisdom and space. I don't know how much we can get to the wisdom if we don't have space. So, otherwise, it's likely that we'll feel if we were constantly eating and trying to digest at the same time, but we never stop eating. We're just running around constantly stuffing food in our mouth, and the body is trying to digest and process what we've taken in. But if we don't pause, if we don't have space, if we don't have room to breathe and let it all drain out, then we don't get to come back to the openness, the whiteness of those centers. And that's where there's potential wisdom. And there's also potentially the chance to let our minds, our strong minds, this conceptualizing capacity that we have, let it start to process everything that we've taken in. And I think that's why, in a way, we need that kind of time and space. Because the ajna, if we really think about what the ajna is, it's an awareness center that's trying to sort out its own meaning and understanding and truth across all time. So it's often not something that is necessarily going to have its full awareness in one singular moment. If we have some space and room to digest, and our mind can kind of wander and grind and crunch and go through its own process, it's likely that we can come out of it with some sort of continually developing awareness about everything that we're seeing and everything that we're taking in. But it's almost like if we don't pause enough, I think it makes it hard to actually see. It makes it hard to actually look at all the stuff that we've been taking in. Then we're kind of caught just dealing with mechanical digestion process of energy and frequency. In this process, what I've noticed is that for most mental projectors that I talk to, you'll probably find there aren't many, if any, people in your life that share your awareness in the way that you have it. You'll probably find that there's something about your awareness that in most of your interactions with most people, it's just broader. It's just broader than what most people can see. Because the definition that most people have in the throat and below will always be this kind of narrowing filter for how they encounter life and what they're able to see. In some ways, definition is almost like a barrier to seeing in a certain way. When there's definition in the body graph, it's almost like that's all we are, and it's hard to relate to anything else. So you might find, especially if you don't have other mental projectors in your life, or if you don't have a lot of projectors in general in your life, and even if you do, you may still find that when you have space to really see what you see and process what you're processing, that there aren't many people who have the breadth that you do. In some ways, I almost feel like as mental projectors, we're a little more similar to reflectors. We've got this shared process of outer authority, but it's almost a little more similar to a reflector, I think, sometimes, than to projectors who have inner authority or who have definition below the throat. I wanted to talk a little bit about the wheel, and I'm sure that, especially for those of you who may be newer to this information, you may still be sorting out like what this all means for you in your daily life. Like, how do you pay your bills, and how do you make decisions about your relationships, and how do you manage your energy and your health? And those are very important questions, and I want to get to that. But before we get to that, I kind of want to trip out with you on the times that we're living in and the unique role that I think we have to play. And in some ways, I would almost say that as mental projectors, I don't think the main focus of our life is really designed to be the mundane. That's not really what we're here for. We're really here to be asking these big questions and looking from this broad view, which is why I called this the mental projector view. And so I wanted this to be a space where we could step out of some of the mundane problem solving of our lives and just look together and see the view of what is going on with humanity, what is going on with society, what is going on with these changing frequencies that I think we're undergoing as a collective and as human beings in general. So one thing that always stands out to me, and I lit it up here, I know there are many of you who have been studying for a while. So wherever you are in this process, at some point, if you're really going to get into human design and take it to the mystery places, you've got to go to the mandala and look at the wheel and start to see how all of these different themes are arranged and what that means for the totality of what we are as a humanity. So this is where we can see the astrological wheel. We can see the 64 hexagrams of the I Ching in their sequence around it. It's a beautiful thing, I think, to be able to interpret the planetary activations through the I Ching rather than only through astrology, what we had before. But if you look here, the wheel is divided into four quarters, and we could call those four different realms of life. We've got the mind, which is the quarter of initiation. We've got the form, which is the quarter of civilization. We've got duality, which is the realm of bonding and relationship. And then we've got mutation up here at the top, which is all about the spirit. So if we look at any of us, all of our definition is going to be in the head and the ajna and potentially also the throat. I didn't include the throat gates here because those would be down here. I want to focus on what's in the ajna and what's in the head. And if we look at where these gates are placed, you'll see that the one arena where none of these mental processing, conceptualizing gates appear is in the quarter of form, which is what runs from gate two over here to gate 33. If we look purely at what it is to be a mental projector, in some ways, we're not here to necessarily be at the forefront of manifesting form. In a lot of ways, I would say that the main role that we have to play is to guide the process of manifesting into form. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we can't participate in manifestation. We get access to different things at different times through relationship and through recognition. Of course, we will create and we will bring things into form. But in a lot of cases, I would imagine that the most meaningful, the most fulfilling aspects of that manifestation will come through communication. It'll come through what we express. And so, for those of us who have an undefined throat, you may find that part of what's beneficial about having space is having room to catch those moments when there's an expression there that wants to come out of you. And whether that's something that you write down, whether that's something you just let yourself lay on the couch and stare out the window and think about, whether that's you get together with a friend that you really trust who really sees you and you just talk through whatever you're seeing. The expression through the form is likely going to come through moments, moments when we catch that we have something to say or that there's something that we're really seeing. And it really is a process. I mean, a lot of the software will say that we have no inner authority, but I really think what we have is a deeply process-oriented authority, which means whatever flavor of mentality you have going on up here, it's going to have its own fixed process that it goes through to digest all the stuff that we've been taking in and come to your own awareness about it. What does this mean? What is the truth of this? What patterns am I seeing? What the hell is going on here? And what do I have to say about it? Something that's very interesting in this particular group is almost every person here has the 6447. So the channel of abstraction is strong in us here. I think there's only two or three of us that don't have the 6447. So we have a lot of abstract minds here. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I'm going to get to it in a minute, but I think the abstract process is really at the forefront of society right now and the ocean that we're swimming in. So if you've got an abstract mind, if you've got the 6447 or the 1156, We'll probably find that the gift of that mind has a lot to do with how you creatively put the pieces together of all the different experiences you're going through and you're witnessing in the people around you. And that's a kind of mind that's here for how do we make meaning out of this? All the stuff we go through, all the things that people go through, all the experiences and the feelings that people have. What does it mean? That is often a process that spends a lot of time in confusion, that spends a lot of time with sort of the mess of all the pieces lying there, and then working out how to link everything together in a way that makes sense to you. So even though we might have 10 people in here who have the 6447, I would imagine that your creative process of how you make meaning out of all the things that you go through and that you see people going through would be uniquely your own. You'd make your own stories out of it. You'd come up with your own narratives and your own way of making sense of it. If you've got an individual mind, if you've got definition that's more along the center line here, which is what I have, then that's the individual process of knowing. And that is often a mental process that can be very repetitive, almost like a record skipping on something, just kind of hammering on the same thing over and over until some kind of an insight or something bursts through. And when that insight or that knowing bursts through, it will often feel like I just got the truth. The truth just landed in me, and now I know. In the process, until we know, it's likely that for those of us that have individual definition up here, we'll spend a lot of time feeling like I don't know. If we're really honest, we can make up all kinds of stuff. We're smart, you know? Mental projectors are smart generally. Somebody presses us and says, what about this? What about that? We can probably come up with something. We can certainly rely on old knowing in the individual circuit, what we knew in the past. But fresh knowing, fresh new insight into the now, right now, is something that arrives in its own time in the moment. And so, if we're honest, there may be a lot of times when the truth is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't see the truth in this. I'm not sure. Lastly, we have the logical process. That logical circuit has got its talent for looking at the patterns and really for a really talented kind of taste for pattern recognition. I think in the times that we're living in and the transformation that we're going through on a collective level, there's a really interesting opportunity for those of us with the logical circuit definition. Because in the cross of planning that's going away, and this is all part of the 2027 prophecy, or I think probably everyone here is pretty familiar with that. There has been so much homogenization of the logical process, I would say, in the last 400 years. There's been so much rigidity around this is what is acceptable logic, and this is what is unacceptable logic. And a lot of that is centered around things like hierarchies and academics and science. I love the word science. So I actually think as that frequency is dissolving, there may actually be a lot more room to see a much broader range of patterns going on. And you might actually get to feel a bit liberated from the domination of what the acceptable, homogenized version of pattern recognition has been allowed to be. So I just wanted to name those frequencies for us all. And until we land on what's real, what's true, what makes sense, what we understand in our own time and in our own way, we might be in a space of just, I'm not sure yet. And the cool thing about having a defined ajna is that if we're not under pressure from all this stuff down here, prove yourself, show that you're someone who's this or that, be powerful, you know, say something smart. If we're not under pressure from all of these spaces, one of the benefits of having a defined ajna is we don't need to be insecure about whether or not we're certain. We don't need to be insecure about that. We actually could have room to say, I don't know yet. I'm not certain about that. If you're asking, I'll let you know when I am. We don't have to be under that pressure to pretend we're certain about something when we're not. And especially in times like this, where I feel like there's a lot of change and a lot of turmoil going on in a lot of places, there's a lot of moving parts. Such a relief to me when someone admits that honestly. They're sort of like, I don't know what I think about that. I'm still working it out. Or here are the pieces that I've worked out, and here are the pieces I'm still chewing on. So I think as mental projectors, we're really built to be very honest about that. I want to name a couple things about where we are currently, because I would say, especially if you are a mental projector who doesn't have a very thick mundane life. And what I mean by a thick mundane life is a life where a daily life where you've got kids and partners and jobs and a full plate in terms of how much you're interacting with. If you don't have a life like that, if you live alone or if you have a little more space in your life, you might find you're a little more sensitive to the background frequency and the sort of the transit field and the different energies that are moving through the planet collectively. You might be the kind of person that you've been working with your design long enough that you're very aware of both. But I want to give this as a backdrop because when we look at what's going on in the transit field or what's going on around us, it can help us to understand the ocean that we're swimming in, especially in terms of what we're encountering in other people. So whether that's people we're working with, people we're living with. And two big things that are going on right now have to do with what I would call contraction and innocence. One being that Pluto is going through this long period of being in Gate 41. Gate 41 is down in the root, and Pluto is making its passage right now through the end of the quarter of mutation, the quarter of spirit. So there's a lot of pressure. All of the gates that Pluto has been in since 2010 and leading up until 2031, so 21 years of pressure gates. Pluto and pressure gates. All of those are in the root. One of them is in the head, but it's a time of a lot of pressure. And wherever Pluto is will tend to be bringing a kind of a big, huge, all across the earth collective level lesson for us all to be working with. The bigger invitation of that, I think, because it's in the quarter of mutation. The bigger transformation that's going on with Pluto right now is to stimulate all of us and to stimulate humanity in general to get straight with your spirit, to get straight with the truth of the spirit of who you are. What do you align with? In what spirit do you approach your life? And what is the spirit that you embody as you move through your life? So Pluto is bringing truth and transformation to this process of the human spirit. The last time that Pluto was in Gate 41 was around the time of the American and French Revolutions. So, for those of you that are in the US and for those of you that are affected by what happens in the US, which is probably just about everyone on some level, this is kind of a revolutionary time and a resetting kind of a time, which I think is partly why it looks so messy right now. The beauty of Gate 41 is that it's the gate of contraction or decrease, the limitation of resources which maximizes the development of potential. And I love this gate because it sounds like a problem, but really I think it's a tremendous invitation. There are some human design teachers who say that the channel 4130 is the true projector channel because it's the channel of recognition. So, Gate 41 brings this pressure that takes things away. It decreases things. It constricts something. And I would imagine that for most of us across the planet, everybody is feeling this in some arena of their lives. It might be a constriction of resources in terms of money, it might be in terms of access, it might be in terms of social connection, it might be in terms of health. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that something is going bad or going wrong, but it usually is a kind of stimulation that says, if I were going to personify it, I'm going to decrease something over here so that you get stimulated to develop a new potential that you wouldn't have been motivated to develop if you just had endless access to everything. There is a partner in a way to this gate in gate 42 when we have an expansion of resources. But this particular theme is about a constriction. And the contraction is very similar to what we could think of as childbirth. It's the squeeze that allows us to birth something new. So this is part of the theme that's going on globally. It's part of the background frequency. And if you've been experiencing that in your own life, or if you are seeing other people going through that, I would say the path of opportunity there is really about what can you dream into, what new potentials can be developed based on the fact that you can't keep doing things the way you've been doing them because something is diminishing in some area. So this would be the background lesson of Pluto right now. In addition to that, we have, as of Friday, Sun moved into gate 25, which is also where Neptune is. And this is a theme that is a tremendous opportunity to reconnect with the spirit of the self. So this theme is the gate of innocence. It has to do with fire. It's an Aries. When I was in this astrology talk the other night, there was all this talk about Aries and war and Aries and war and fire and war. And there's so many planets moving into Aries right now, and it's creating all of this intensity and war and selfishness and fire, you know. I love that in human design, when you look at the wheel, the beginning of Aries is gate 25, which is innocence. It's spirit of the self. It's the individual flame of the light of the spirit of the self in the body, in this incarnation. If I were going to look at it kind of mystically, I think you could call it the violet flame, like it's referred to in a lot of spiritual traditions, or you could call it the Christ light, or not in connection with any kind of dogmatic religion, but just the light of the spirit of the self and the purity of that. And so I think a big part of what's going on right now, and this is part of the force of Neptune, is a massive purification on this planet in all different ways. And part of what that is bringing out, I think, are a lot of things getting unmasked, you know, and it goes very well with this cross of planning leaving, sort of leaders, institutions, certain dogmas that are starting to dissolve. And the metaphor that keeps coming to me is the emperor has no clothes. You guys know that story, you know? And it reminds me, because there's something about this gate 25 that is childlike. I would say it's childlike, but it's not childish. You know how you can take a little kid to a formal event, like you take a kid to a graduation or to like a funeral or something? They don't get the program. Oh, we're all supposed to wear this and talk like this and feel like this and don't say this and look like this. And the kid doesn't get it. And they're just like, why is grandma sitting here and she's not moving? Or, you know, why is everybody wearing a tie? Or, you know, the innocent spirit will be uncontrived and spontaneous in its nature, and most likely speak directly from the light of its own heart and its own awareness. What is that? Why is everyone doing that? I don't want to do that. I want to do this. To me, it's the innocence of Aries. It's the spirited child, the one that's not going to be homogenized. It's described as the perfection of action through uncontrived and spontaneous nature. And I think part of what's happening as the cross of planning is dissolving, and this is always what happens when there are big movements astrologically, is that part of what drives the movement into the new era is that the old era has become bloated. It's become overdone. It's reached an extreme. And that's part of what drives the need to birth the next frequency. So part of what has become so bloated in our society today is the planning and the bargains. I mean, so much planning, so many bargains, so many contracts, so many long-term agreements, so many expectations of what we're supposed to sustain through our lives. that it sucked the innocence and the spirit. It sucked the natural spontaneity, aliveness out of everything. We're sick of the calendars. We're sick of the constant surveillance. We're sick of having every minute accounted for, and our 5-year plans and our 10-year plans and our rest of our life goals and all the things we're supposed to sustain and maintain for our whole lives. Also, the pressure to have big plans from way too young in a lot of cases, that kids are expected, what are you going to do with your life and all that stuff. So as that all goes away, Neptune and the sun right now, and this Aries frequency, I think, brings this opportunity to reconnect with the spirit of the self and to recognize that in other people. Like, oh, here's someone who is, their spirit is alive. I can feel it. I can see it. They're here. And when that frequency is there, it's likely that we might feel like, what's it gonna do? We don't know. How's it gonna behave? We don't know. If it's spontaneous, if it's natural, there isn't a performative action. There's a perfection of action, a natural perfection of action that just arises out of the natural spontaneity that's there. There may be a lot of confusion or pain going on in certain arenas where the old masks and costumes are not working anymore. The emperor has no clothes. And the true spirit, the true nature is becoming more obvious. And so we might find in certain settings, we kind of can't play the game anymore. And as a mental projector, I think if we have any awakeness or awareness at all, we already can't really play the game that well because we see too much. And the seeing is too broad, so we can't quite buy the full show. That's one piece. The second piece that I think is so huge for this time is that one of the major features of the prophecy of 2027 was this shift from the solar plexus being a center of emotional energy to it being a center of emotional awareness. And this is a massive, massive movement that is happening collectively right now. I think part of the effect of that is that it's really bringing a close to a certain level of human drama. And it may be very stimulating for a lot of people to be under pressure to complete your emotional business, is how I would put it. The human experiential way, if we were going to characterize it, what does the motor of the emotional center do? And I think this is why it's especially relevant that so many people here have the 6447, because in a way, that's a kind of mind that's here to be looking at this human experiential way, emotional process. A lot of what that process has been driven by is avoiding pain and chasing pleasure. A lot of it fueled by need, desire, passion, conflict, crisis, the drama of human life, which can be beautiful. It can create all kinds of art and all kinds of fascinating experiences. We go through the pain and then we find the treasure and then we, make meaning out of what we went through. And that's a beautiful process. But the individual emotionally motorized version of that process is potentially coming to an end. And I think part of what's happening now for those of us who do still have the human form as it is now is it may be stimulating us to complete and make our own peace and go through our own healing process with our emotional experience. And that may involve what we've been through historically. We may see it in terms of what a lot of people are focused on right now, emotional regulation, nervous system regulation. That's a very hot topic right now because of everything that's going on with the solar plexus. And I think one of the biggest games that is being purified or being moved out in a way is this kind of victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle. You guys familiar with that concept? It's been around for a long time. So that drama is almost getting purified out of our systems. And as it does, we may be seeing it really playing out It's like in the horror movie when you like kill the monster and then you think you killed it, but it has its one last like jump scare before it really dies. I think we're in the jump scare right now. We're in the last jump scare before the thing is really gone. Remember when you used to watch the news and it was really boring? Like, remember when you were a kid and your parents had the news on and it was like so boring? Like, it was almost like so boring, it would just put you to sleep. Now you turn on the news and it's like this emotional roller coaster. And in most cases, I think part of what's happening collectively is that for anyone who's holding on to this emotional motor game, there needs to be a lot of repetitive and constant feeding of emotional stimulation and reactivity to keep that fuel going because it's leaving, because it's actually leaving. So, if there's anything that we have personally to complete with that process, there's a big opportunity for purifying and rectifying our relationship with unconscious emotional manipulation, if I were going to say it really plainly. And wherever that may be coming up in our personal relationships, wherever that may be coming up in societal or institutional ways, I think that's a lot of what is getting stimulated right now and coming up for healing. Included with this as well, from what I can see, is also ancestral inheritance. So, part of what mutation allows us to do is to transcend ancestral inheritance. So, if there are patterns that we've been carrying, if there are things that we've inherited genetically, I think this is actually a time where there's a big opportunity to really just let it go. Potentially not so much about healing or fixing it, but an opportunity to go beyond it. Y'all may have different opinions about that, which is totally welcome, but that's how I've been seeing it. So, for those of us that are in a position to be guiding others, whether that's our children, our family members, our clients in our work, our coworkers, whatever it might be, whatever role you might happen to be in, you may find that you're in a position of seeing a lot of people processing this or trying to find their way through it. How do I regulate with my body? How do I make peace with my history? How do I understand emotional stimulation and dysregulation? And how do I deal with that? For us, I think being really close to our own bodies and getting to know what our own process needs to be for regulating ourselves then becomes really, really important. Because where it is going is really to spirit consciousness. So, when the solar plexus is freed from the fuel and the motor of desire and need and personal emotion, what is really opening up is Gate 55 as an anchor point for us all, which is this potential of emotional awareness or what Ra called spirit consciousness. And that is something that may really open us up to be able to have this mutually empowering awareness through the frequency of spirit. If you're familiar with the substructure pieces of human design having to do with feeling and having to do with touch and having to do with sensitivity to frequency, when the density of that motor fades, we get much more room to operate on a frequency level and to be able to sense together what is going on here in a way that feeds the spirit of each of us. So, the potential to have mutually empowered intimacy of spirit with ourselves and with others, I think, is the high potential of the sleeping phoenix that's coming. But of course, in order for that to come, we may need to die to the old ways. And I think that's what the planet is going through right now, is kind of a dying to the old ways, the ways that don't work anymore. The last piece I want to share before I open it up for us to have a little more reflection is that if we just look at these two body graphs, these being the body graphs of the cross of planning and the cross of the sleeping phoenix, where we're moving into, and you look at what happens to this body graph, the influence of the cross of planning and the way I would hold it is to say, this is showing us the ocean that we're swimming in. This is showing us the overarching background frequency that's likely setting the tone for society, saying, this is the way. This is our collective global lesson plan, we could say, for 400 years at a time. And that old lesson plan that's fading had a lot to do with will and emotional fuel, with family, with community, with what are we a part of and how do we show up, and very material. This is a very material channel. So, a lot to do with like how are we managing the resources and how are we dealing with the physical material of life. This is also a channel that's very much about relationship rooted in an agreement. I'm going to show up for you this way, you'll show up for me that way. It's got that kind of bargain quality in it. But as we move into this, what comes forward is the 3420, the one and only pure and true manifesting generator channel. Since human design came on the scene, there's been a lot of talk about this is the era for projector leadership, and projector leadership is the way and guidance and all of that. But I almost feel like if we look at any channel that benefits from projector guidance most, it's the 3420. It's the one that's so busy doing and saying and being charismatic and making an impact and expressing its power all the time, oftentimes moving so fast that it really benefits from some outside feedback. It often really benefits from some outside awareness. And so I think almost anybody here who doesn't have the 6447 or the 1156 has the 4323. And I would say for any of us as mental projectors, but potentially especially if you have the 4323, I think this is our time to shine. This is our moment. I mean, Ra said very specifically, mechanically, that this channel really needs the 4323 to help structure and recognize the impact of what it's doing. Ultimately, this gate 34 basically says that the display of power is only true when it serves a common good. So, this is a potential birthing of an era where self-empowerment is not just about survival. How am I going to get mine and be powerful over the other forces in my life? It's one where if there's mutual self-empowerment, if everybody gets to have their own power, and it's not about power over, it's about power as myself, then that fuel can serve a common good. Then means it's not about display. It's not about displaying power for display's sake. It's about an expression of true power that's driven by life force. It's driven by life. I'm being moved by life and I can't help but to express it. I think this is a time when the guidance that we might have to offer could be really beneficial to people around us. Just because these are the background frequencies, the weather frequencies, doesn't mean that we have to become them. It doesn't mean that that we need to take that on. But it's likely characterizing the ocean that we're swimming in and giving us an opportunity to reflect back about and to others when the opportunity is there. What do we see? If you are going through a deep healing process right now, I think you're probably right on target. I think the stimulation that is happening could also be bringing the opportunity for us to digest and clean out, like I said, purify or make our peace with our own emotional experience, which we certainly have, with our own self-worth, with our own sense of identity, with our own relationship to power and fuel, with how we handle stress, and with how we approach what makes us feel safe and alive and vital. For me these days, I spend a lot of time in my bare feet in the backyard, and that's how I regulate myself and balance myself out. I think whatever practices you have for that are probably really important at this time. And if we clean all this stuff out, that's what puts us in a position to be an outer authority, what Ra referred to as an outer authority.